Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Dr. George Gray, Assistant Administrator for Research and Development and Science Advisor for the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency. Good morning, George.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer, Director in IBM's Federal Consulting Practice. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
George, perhaps you can start by giving us an overview of the EPA and tell us a little bit about its mission and the types of programs at the administration.
Sure. So EPA is 18,000 people across this country working together to advance the protection of human health and the environment. And we've got people here in Washington, D.C., of course, but we have people in 10 regions that we've divided the country into, out in offices and laboratories, really from coast to coast, top to bottom across the country. The agency's organized in many ways by the laws that we implement so that we have an Office of Water and an Office of Air and an Office of Solid Waste and Emergency Response and toxic substances, pesticides. So they're responsible for implementing these laws that are protecting our health and our environment. We also have an enforcement capability, folks who go out and catch people who are breaking the laws. Then we have these regions. Again, I mentioned the regions earlier. They're the folks who are really involved in a lot of day-to-day implementation of environmental policy out there at the state level and the local level. And then finally, there is the Office of Research and Development, the group that I head.
Great. Can you tell us a little bit more about your office, the Office of Research and Development, otherwise known as ORD? How is it organized and how do you support the broader mission of the EPA?
ORD's job is to provide the scientific and technical support that the agency needs to address today's environmental challenges and to think about those for tomorrow. We're organized around what we call the risk assessment paradigm, and this is first articulated by the National Academy of Sciences more than 20 years ago. And the idea is that as we try to understand and address potential threats to human health or the environment, we have to think about a hazard. What bad thing could happen with a particular kind of exposure, whether it's to a microbe in your food or to a chemical that might be in the water. Then we have to think about the dose-response relationship. That is, how does the exposure translate into disease? We have to think about exposure. Is this something where people are going to be drinking that water all the time, or is this something where it's an exposure that only happened in a few isolated kind of circumstances? And then we want to bring that all together to give us an idea of the size of a risk to help make decisions. And those decisions we call risk management. Somehow we have to do something about that. So in ORD, we have laboratories that address each of those different bits of the risk assessment paradigm. In Research Triangle Park, North Carolina, primarily, we have a National Exposure Research Laboratory, and those are the folks who think about the ways in which people could be exposed, the way in which pollutants move around in the environment, the way in which they're changed, and the different ways that we can be exposed. We have then a center, National Center for Environmental Assessment, that's part of the group that brings everything together, that helps to organize and characterize risks to help make better decisions. We also have a group we call our National Risk Management Research Laboratory, and they're a lot of our engineers who are thinking about solutions. And I think that's a really important thing both for ORD and for EPA, not to just be the ones who are saying, this is a problem, look out, watch out, but to say, we're coming up with solutions. We're finding ways to address these kinds of problems. And this ranges from work that we do in our risk management lab where we're trying to find easy, cost-effective ways for small water systems to meet our arsenic standard. It can be very difficult to remove this natural material. It's just in the ground. It's part of the geology of where you live that can be in your water. And we're trying to find ways that you can do that in a cheap and cost-effective way for a very small water system. So we're doing risk management work there. And a lot of that is engineering and technology. We also have some support offices. We have an Office of Science Policy that helps with our interactions with the rest of the agency. Remember, I said our job is to make sure the agency has the science and technology it needs as it makes decisions. This is sort of our way that we plug into all of the other parts of the agency to make sure that when they're facing some particular regulatory decision, or they're evaluating options that they might have, that we're providing the scientific input that they need. We have a support group that does a lot of our logistics and our personnel. We have two other very small and new centers I just want to highlight real quickly. One is our National Center for Computational Toxicology. And there what we're trying to do is to bring new tools and new methods that are coming out of scientific revolutions, really, in biology and in informatics. And we're trying to bring those to bear so that to make our work at identifying potential hazards and dealing with them even more rapid, more cost-effective, where we can take advantage of the technologies. The other thing that we have, and a lot of people don't know about, is the National Homeland Security Research Center. Under a couple of presidential directives, we've been given responsibility for certain parts of homeland security. We focus primarily on water safety. We focus on decontamination. That is what you do after there might be some sort of an event. And so we have this Homeland Security Research Center is in Cincinnati, Ohio, and they work on things from identifying how you identify risks to having laboratories to measure things that might show up in the environment in some way to thinking about novel detectors and ways in which we can detect something that might have been added to a water supply, for example. So our idea is that we support the agency sometimes with short-term research. We've been asked, for example, to develop a quick lead test kit. And it's something where we can do some of our engineering magic and come up with something that can help answer a short-term problem. We were asked to help the Office of Water with requirements that they were given by Congress to be able to do a better job of telling when to close a beach because of contamination. The methods that we have today take 2 days to identify whether there might be harmful bacteria in the water. That's 2 days after you took the sample. It's hard to close that beach 2 days before. We came up with a rapid molecular-based approach using what's called quantitative polymerase chain reaction that lets us tell within 2 hours if there's something in the water that means we should close the beach. So we try to be very responsive and work on short-term needs of the rest of the agency. But we also want to work on longer-term things. Part of our responsibility is making sure that the agency is positioned to meet tomorrow's environmental challenges. And that ranges from doing novel research in biology and in chemistry to things that we're doing, for example, to help support water infrastructure. We've got 100 million miles of buried drinking water systems in this country, and they're getting older by the day. And we are working on technologies to help identify places where there could be problems, whether these are things you put in the water to help detect leaks, modeling opportunities to look at where leaks are more likely to happen, new ways of refitting water systems rather than digging up your street, which is not good for anybody, right. Having ways to reline the pipes that are there, things that you can put down the middle that help to more rapidly and cost-effectively rehabilitate that system, save water, and save money. So we work on both the short-term and long-term research that helps to support the mission of the agency.
Now, George, what are your responsibilities and duties as the Assistant Administrator for Research and Development within EPA? And could you tell us about the areas under your purview?
Well, sure. As the head of the Office of Research and Development, I really see myself as having a couple of important responsibilities. One is working with the folks in ORD to help set priorities, to think about our future. It's one of the most important things that we do, trying to understand where are the new challenges, what are things that we've done a good job of characterizing and the agency's in good shape and we can move on. And that's always difficult in any organization when you have to set priorities, you have to change areas of emphasis. And we've got to do this in a constantly evolving world of science in which the skills that are needed may change, in which the tools and techniques that are being used change and evolve constantly. So I really take very seriously my job of working with the people of ORD to identify where we're going, where we need to go to support the agency, where we need to go to meet those environmental challenges, and where we need to go as an organization to be best positioned to make the contributions that the rest of EPA looks to us to have.
Now, George, you've had a very interesting career. Could you describe your career path for our listeners? Specifically, how did you begin your career?
Well, I'm not quite sure where one's career begins. I won't go all the way back to kindergarten, but I think it's an interesting path that's gotten me here simply because I am someone who's always had an interest in science and an interest in seeing science make a difference. I really first got interested in scientific research in college with a job. I needed a job. I ended up washing glassware in laboratories at the University of Michigan. And it wasn't the most exciting job. I'd go around with my cart and I'd get the test tubes and Petri dishes and take them down to the big dishwasher and do that. But by interacting with the people in the labs, they got to know me. They got to know my interests. And eventually I ended up in one of those laboratories working and doing experiments. So I got exposed to scientific research in a way that got me very excited. I went off to graduate school to work in toxicology. That was – I thought would be a very kind of an applied kind of science. It turns out that I learned an awful lot of good things, but I ended up – my laboratory work was molecular biology and very kind of basic research. And it left me feeling still less connected to where the science makes a difference. I think a real break and something that made a real difference for me was to get a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard at the School of Public Health in a program that they had that was supported by the EPA. They called the program Environmental Health and Public Policy. And what they tried to do is bring people from a variety of backgrounds together – toxicologists, economists, psychologists, all people who were interested in environmental health but came from very different backgrounds. And working together and really understanding how the environmental policy world works, how science plays in there, and that got me really excited. I really enjoyed that. I fell in with some great people. And I basically went from a postdoc to a faculty member at the Harvard School of Public Health over about 16 years. And it was just last November, when I left Boston and came down here to take the position as the assistant administrator of ORD. And this was something that was really exciting to me as well. It's an opportunity to do public service. It's an opportunity to put what I've taught and written about and done research on for my career to work, and an opportunity to work with a great bunch of people in a place that really matters. And I'm 10 months in, but I'm having a great time.
That's fantastic, George. I only have about another 60 seconds, but I do want to ask you that in January of this year, in addition to your R&D leadership role, you were also appointed EPA science advisor. Can you explain this role briefly, and how does the dual role within EPA, this dual role, complement each other?
Sure. The science advisor is a new position that was created under Administrator Whitman, the idea being that there would be a central person who would represent science for the agency. And I think it's really important that the science advisor and the Office of Science Advisor is seen as an honest broker for scientific issues across the agency. And so my goal there is to bring together all of the various parts of EPA. All of us have scientific questions, technical parts of the work that we do, to be a meeting place and an honest broker for discussion and for eventual solution of common problems that face a wide part of the agency. And here I think it's great working in ORD. I get to hear more about what's going on in the rest of the agency about science. That's important in that job. And as a science advisor, I know what's going on in ORD's research program, and that lets me do a better job there.
Fantastic. What kinds of innovation are happening within environmental research and development? We will ask Dr. George Gray, Assistant Administrator for Research and Development at EPA, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.